All right. Did you know that your attitude puts you in a position for victory or defeat? You know, Paul said in Philippians 3:12, Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. I believe these verses depict an attitude of positiveness, victory. Now, he wrote this when he was in prison in Rome. He was writing this and he said, I haven't made it yet and I don't count myself, you know, I have already attained it, but I'm forgetting everything that's going on. I'm going forward. That's a positive attitude. You know, he stresses here the attitude of having the right attitude to get your life in line with the Word of God. Now, we got to realize our attitude helps us not only in the spiritual area, but also in the natural area. And you know, on Wednesday night, Pastor likes to just talk to you like I sat down and talking to you, and I like to give you stuff that you use on the spiritual side and the natural side. You know, that's why that the title of the message is Your Attitude Puts You in a Position for Victory or Defeat. Our attitude can be our best friend or our worst enemy. Your attitude can either help you win or help you lose. You know, I've found in life, you have to cultivate attitudes for success. One attitude that I've developed, and I got it from my dad, is that God said it, I believe it, that settles it, period. That's it. Another attitude that I have, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. That means that I haven't had failures, but I haven't had failures because I didn't quit. I got up. I kept going. Your attitude, some of them are good, and some of them are bad. So we need to eliminate those that are not good and keep the right attitude at all times. Ephesians 4:23, it's just a little short verse. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The NLT says it like this. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You know, that says a lot. Attitudes affect us more than we realize. In life in general, and also on the spiritual side. Attitudes will determine how much you will achieve. You know, have you ever been around somebody, they were doing something, but they didn't have a willing attitude while they were doing it? And it caused a whole lot of confusion and all kinds of stuff. An unwilling attitude makes your performance less than it should be. Even though you're doing the job, your attitude causes you not to do it as best as it could be done. As where I come from, they call you just go do it haphazardly. In other words, you do it because you have to. Because they told you, not because you have an attitude of I want this to look the best if I'm going to do it. I mean, I adopted this attitude way back when I was a kid. My attitude is, and I got it from my dad. My dad taught it to me. He said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. That's an attitude that we all need to have. Your attitude will determine what you receive in the natural. It also will determine what you receive from God. Sometimes people have a passive attitude. They're willing to live with whatever happens. Sort of, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. You know, sometimes people are too passive about the things of God. God said he wants us to have an abundant life. Yet you find people, even though they know the promises of God, they're too passive. They don't press in to get them. The enemy will do everything he can to keep you from getting the promises of God. You know, some people say, I'm waiting on God. Now that is a bad statement, because God's already done everything he's going to do about it. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to do what you're supposed to do in order to receive. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, people say they're waiting on God. That would be like if Christopher or William sitting down here, if they came up and said, hey, Pastor, I need $20. And I just reach in my pocket and I get a $20 bill and I'm holding it out there and they just stand there and look at it. See, they're waiting on me to put it in their pocket, I guess. But you see, that's the way people are with God. They're waiting on him for the promises of God to come in their life. And yet, if you do what he told you to do, then they will come. You've got to do something. Some people want to get promoted, but they don't do anything to get promoted. I went to a minister's conference when I was an associate pastor with my father-in-law, and it was sort of, it wasn't a whole big conference. It was just a group of pastors that got together and they were talking about things, about stuff. And one guy said, if you need a job done, who do you ask? And one pastor piped up and said, the busiest person in the church. Because they would get the job done. Hello, I better go on. See, some people wanting God to stuff the blessing on them. God's not going to stuff anything down your throat. You're going to have to go and get the blessing. It's already been purchased. It's already been paid for. So you've got to go and take it. If I laid a $100 bill down here and said, first person here gets it. You guys in the back would knock people down trying to get down here. And I already seen William reach over and grab a hold of Christopher and say, well, hey, you ain't going. Come on, help me understand what I'm trying to get across. You know, people that receive the promises of God are those with an attitude, God says it, I'm going to get it. You know, like if somebody said, okay, you can have that boat or you can have that trailer or whatever. And you say, oh, thank you. But until you go get it, nothing's going to happen. It may be yours. He's giving it to you. You may even have the papers that say so. But until you go grab a hold of it and possess it, it's doing you no good. That's the way the promises of God are. You got to have the attitude, hey, if God said it, I'm going to get it. Hello. Receiving from God takes action on our part. Some people are waiting for God to act. God's already acted. Now we need to get in gear. You know, Paul's attitude helped him to triumph in his life. He made a statement in Acts 26:2 that's interesting. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all things which I am accused by the Jews. Now here Paul is a prisoner standing before King Agrippa. And he said, I think myself happy. The Amplified, the classic version, says, Paul said, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that it is before you that I may make my defense today in regard to all the charges brought against me by the Jews. The literal version says, I count myself happy. It wasn't a happy situation, but Paul's attitude was, I am happy because I can defend myself. You see, even when he was a prisoner, like I said before, he looked on the positive side. You know, you need to look at the positive. My dad was an individual that said, he always said, stay positive. Stay on the positive side. When he looked at something, he would look at something from a positive standpoint. You know, two people can stand and look at something and one of them may have a negative attitude and the other can say, have a good attitude. You know, one person say, oh man, what a mess. And the other person can say, well, they're doing a good job getting that all fixed up. They're looking at the same thing. One of them sees a mess. The other one sees it being converted and cleaned up and look and to what it's supposed to be. Anybody here or y'all gone home? Well, I'm going to borrow something from Brother Bill. How many of you know Brother Bill? Pastor Bill over here. He says, hey, I'm preaching better than I'm getting amens. Maybe you're just quiet listening. You see, somebody asked me, it's been a while back. I don't know when. I mean, I go so hard sometimes I think it's 5 years and it's been 20. But we were somewhere and I was speaking and they were speaking as a conference or something was at. And the people were really reserved. They weren't saying nothing hardly. And they said, man, how in the world are you doing? They said, well, I told him, I said, well, when I was 28 years old, just got out of the Army, just married my wife and become associate pastor with my father-in-law, he throwed me in that pulpit every Sunday night for 6 months. And I had people sitting out there that had the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues longer than I was old. And they just sat there and looked at this young kid. So I learned to just keep on going anyway. If they didn't say nothing, I just kept going. That's an attitude you're going to have to develop if you get through the hard places. Hello? You know, I don't think Paul, after he got arrested, decided to develop this attitude. It's something that he developed as he lived. You have to develop right attitudes in order to demonstrate the right actions. Wrong attitudes will cause you to make wrong actions. Right attitude will cause you to make right actions. You know, your attitude causes you to respond to the circumstances that are thrown at you, because your attitude will either say, okay, just another chance to prove God's word works, or your attitude will say, well, I guess I'm not going to make it this time. On the job, somebody else gets promoted. You say, well, I was trying to do it. You know, or you can say, okay, I'm just going to have to work a little harder because I'm going to the top. I'm not going to stay down here on the bottom of the ladder. It all becomes from your attitude. You respond with your attitude. You either respond negatively or you respond positively. I've told you this before about playing football. I'm defensive back, and this guy, he beats me and catches the ball. Of course, I get him before he can get too far. And we're walking back to the huddle. He's going to his huddle. I'm going to mine. I told him, I said, you better be glad you caught that one, because that'll be the last one you're going to catch. Some of y'all have played ball with me. Y'all know my attitude is, hey, I don't quit. But that's the attitude you're going to have if you're going to make it in life. It's the attitude you're going to have if you're going to defeat the devil when he comes at you swinging at you with everything he's got. Hello? You can either crumble. You know, I could say, oh, man. Boy, he's going to be hard to cover. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to do it. I could have took that attitude and he would have beat me all night. I took the attitude, hey, you better be glad you caught one. And I got an interception and he didn't catch any more balls that night. But you see, my attitude either pushed me this way or push me the other way. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. That works in natural life. It also works in your spiritual life. You know, changing your attitude will help you to reach a new level. We got to realize our attitude will either take us up or take us down. Negative attitudes will limit. Positive attitudes will help you to discover new things. You know, we go look at Jacob. Jacob had a beat up attitude, negative attitude. Look at Genesis 42:36. Look at this. And Jacob, their father, said to them, "You have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And now you want to take Benjamin? All these are against me. All these things are against me." Now, if you don't know the story of Joseph, go read the story of Joseph in Genesis there. It is the greatest story of forgiveness that you will ever, ever see. Read about. Have any of you been to Branson to Sight and Sound Theater? And did any of you see Joseph while you were there? I saw it three times, and I teared up all three times because it was the great. What's his name? Oh, I know him. yeah, Glenn. Actually, Glenn used to go at one time, went to Sam Smucker, our Rhema church up there in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, because that's where it all started up there, Sight and Sound Theater, and they built this one. What he does, he takes a Bible story and he writes a story around that. And he also is a painter and he designs all of the sets, everything. But I want to tell you what, that story of Joseph is something else. But here, Jacob, he's saying, listen, you told me that Joseph has been murder, and taken away. You said that now Simeon is down there. Y'all went down to Egypt, and now he's been taken prisoner down there. And now you want Benjamin? You know, one of the Revised Standards said, all this has come upon me. Jerusalem Bible says, all this I must bear. New International Version says, everything is against me. You know, in all fairness, Jacob had some problems, big time. You know, he was in that position. And he was looking at it from a negative standpoint. They were in a famine. They were starving. You know, sometimes when we have been under the gun, so to speak, for so long, we tend to lose our positive attitude. But it doesn't matter. You got to stay positive. Now, here was Jacob with his attitude, okay? He was lamenting everything that went on. Now, in the end of the story, they were delivered, okay? But now let's look at Paul with the upbeat attitude. Paul, and he writes this in Romans 8:37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Living Bible says, but despite all these overwhelming victory, despite all this, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. The Judge and Paraphrase says, no, in all these circumstances, we may live triumphantly through God's love. And Williams translation, and yet in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering through him who loved us. Now, I got one more I want to read. It's from the Rickard translation. Listen, in all things, Jesus, our great leader, has established us as invincible champions through his amazing provision for us. Invincible champions. Somebody said, well, that's Paul writing. He's writing. Well, hey, let me show you what Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors more abundance, in stripe above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At night and a day I was in the deep or in the sea. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for the churches. I believe he had some trouble. Yet he said, in all these things, hello, you got what that, let's read that. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. I like the way Richter says it there. We are invincible champions. Viktor Frankl, a World War II Holocaust survivor, said, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. That's what I've been talking about the whole time. We choose our attitude, a positive attitude or a negative attitude. You know, as we look at this, he had developed a winning attitude. Didn't matter what happened. Didn't matter what he faced, he developed a winning attitude. The difference between Paul's and Jacob was their attitude, the way they looked at it. Today, you got to remember that God loves you and he cares for you and he's caring about you, and he's already given you what you need to succeed. So maintain the attitude, I can do it. You know, I don't know. I remember, I don't even know what the story was. I guess as a kid, or I guess I heard it somewhere sometime. But there was it's a kid's story. I don't know whether some of my I don't know whether my grandpa or somebody anyway. I remember there's a story about a little train going up a mountain. Huh? The little engine that could, they saying, I don't know. All I remember is it was going up the mountain and it kept saying, I think I can. And he made it to the top. That's the kind of attitude I'm talking about. We got to have this attitude. I can do it. Why can you do it? Because he said, in the Word of God, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can. Turn to your neighbor and say, I can. You know, I've told you this story before. I was working on freight dock when I was going to Bible college. And the old foreman, he's riding around the line. I don't know what they do now, but back then we had, you had docks on each side, the trucks backed in, and you had this deal that went around. You had these little carts that went down in it, and it pulled these little carts around, sort of like in the old, I don't know what they got in car washes now, but they have a deal and it'd pull your car through the car wash, and you know, well, we had these carts, and these trucks would go out and pick up this freight that was going all over everywhere, and then we had these certain bays that they would back into, these city trailers would back into, and we were breakout boys, what you call, we would get in there, and you could start the freight, and okay, I got a bill of lading here that says I got 6 boxes, and they're going to whatever it was, brake pads or what brakes or whatever it was. And so I would get those, and they said, okay, that's going to Odessa. And I put all those on one of them little carts, put that in there, then pull that cart and put it on there. And I'd write on it like if it was going down Marilla, then I'd write 32 on that little board with a blackboard with the chalk. And because 32 was where they were loading everything on this big semi that was going to Amarillo. Or if it was going to El Paso, it was 3. I can still remember that, and that was back, that's back 59 and 60 when I was working on that dock. But hey, you got to have the Word of God to become a part of you just like that is. And some of you can remember things like that. But you see, that's why you got to have that. And anyway, old Sims, he would ride around. He was the foreman. He'd ride around that on carts hollering at you and wanting everybody to work harder and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes he didn't say good words either. But anyway, some of you know what I'm talking about. But so he was coming down, and I heard him coming up, and he said, can you do this? And all these guys, and all of this, 2 carloads of us, and we were all working there together. And he's asking them, he got to me, and he said, hey, Hagin, can you do so and so? Yeah, Sims, I can. And he went on by, and the old boy right over here next to me, he said, Hagin, you don't know anything about that. And I said, well, I know a little bit. And I forgot even now what it was. But I said, I know a little bit, and I know a guy that works in that area. And we got a library at the school. And by the time I get here tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I can do it. And I told him, I said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And he just said, he just, you know. But, hey, for that next couple of 3 days, I got to go work inside of the office in air conditioning while they're out there sweating. You see, you've got to have an attitude that says, I can, naturally and spiritually. On the spiritual side, we got to remember what God said. We got to meditate on his promises and believe them and confess them. You know, change your attitude will change what you get. You can sit around and gripe about, well, I'm not making enough money, I'm not doing this, I'm not. Or you can get in there and go to work like crazy. Come on. That's just the way it is. I mean, I spent 3 years in Uncle Sam's army, and these guys gripe all the time. All I did, they'd send us out to do something. I'd go out there, give it everything I got. And the rest of them griping and sloughing around, and next thing you know, we're all just buck privates, just got in there. But the next thing you know, a sergeant hollered at me and said, "Hey, Hagen, here!" And he threw me some snap on corporal stripes. He said, "Now you're in charge. You're underneath me, the sergeant. You're underneath me, and now I'm over these guys." And they griping and complaining, and I'm just out there doing what I was told to do, giving it everything I had, and I got the corporal stripes. Now they got to do what I tell them. Any of you been in the army? How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you see, my attitude was, okay, I'm in the army. This is what they're saying to do. Then, hey, let's go. Let's get it done. I'm the same way about the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says. Okay, come on. Let's get it. It's ours. It belongs to us. So go get it. Promotion comes to those that have the right attitude and go after it. Heavenly Father, I just tried to motivate these people tonight to realize that their attitude toward everything, the promises of God, their work, natural things, everything, they're either successful or they're not successful. So, Father, I pray that each of us will grab a hold of the idea that we need to have the right attitude. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everybody stand. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I think, you know, if you'll think about what I said, put it into action, you'll start seeing some things change. Amen. Well, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave here. Or if you're here and you know what it is to serve Christ, but you just have not been doing and been where you need to be, you need to rededicate your life. Or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or you need prayer for any reason whatsoever. The ladies are over here. The men are over here. If you'll come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Do we have any first-time guests tonight? If so, connection team, find our first-time guest. What do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and join us. Amen. They're going to take you out there and give you a special gift. We're glad you came here. If you're just traveling through our area, then we invite you to make this your home away from home every time you're in our area. Praise the Lord. Hey, Sunday morning right here and Sunday night, camp meeting starts. It's going to make plans to be in as many of the services as you can. And also, we want you to get involved and help us. We're the host you know, this is like a family, you know, it's the rhema family. But in natural families, one family becomes the host of all the other family that comes in for the reunion or whatever it is. Well, we're the host family here, so we got to take care of every rest of the family that comes to visit, okay? So sign up and get involved, amen? Praise the Lord. All right, as we're dismissed tonight, if you need prayer, come to the front. We'll see the rest of you Sunday. God bless.